On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Yes, as a matter of fact, it is a live program. A live program for Monday, the 13th of August, 2012. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, headonradionetwork.com, available only on the interweb tubes. That's by design, by the way, not sour grapes. No, this is available only via the interweb tubes. Because, well, frankly, commercialized, ad-hustling, buy gold now. Put it all under the Swedish mattress that you can drop bowling balls on. This conversation radio that we do here would never work on terrestrial radio. It's just a fact. But it does work and has worked for a number of years here. And with your help, continues to, if not thrive, at least survive. Sometimes we thrive. Sometimes we survive. August is looking like a surviving month. We are, at present, about 2 days away from the halfway mark of the month of August, which would theoretically put us at the place where we would need to have raised the halfway month's equivalent in money, namely $1,250, and we are at present at $543. So, yeah, that's where we are. If you would care to help out, this would be a great night to do it, simply because, well, this is the programming note scheduling part of the program. I'm going to be gone tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I'll tell you plainly, I would rather not be gone. I would rather be here, behind the microphone, in the studio, broadcasting. You know, of course, where we've been for the last, week. It's been PRISM West Virginia 2012 Summer Academy time, and my goodness gracious, what an absolute wealth of information we have had, and we have broadcasted over the stream, and a number of you have now got copies of the audio files. And hopefully we'll get them out, if not directly, at whiterosesociety.org. We will get them out in other places that I can tell you about later. Today was fascinating. We had a reenactor visit the classroom. I had no idea what a profound and dedicated progressive Pearl S. Buck was. But she was. She's largely been marginalized, mostly forgotten, I suppose. But in the middle of the 20th century, she was a profound progressive voice who was marginalized in her own time because of her status as being women folks. Thanks, Marty. He says he's seeing a bit of buffering. No buffering coming from here, so... I don't know what to say. But we're not seeing it on this end. At any rate, that kept us busy for the past week. Of course, we also got shows in as well. Wednesday and or Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then shows again on well, this evening, now that Prism is over. No, I'm going to a meeting about mountaintop removal strategies and tactics for ending it. I will be going in advocacy of the AIC Act and the AIC campaign, which to date has provided the only viable means toward ending mountaintop removal that presently exists. And it will keep me, it'll keep me gone Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I tell you what I'll do. I am going to do this. I'm going to take laptops and mixer with me just in case the opportunity presents itself. But in light of where the meeting is being held, I'm not counting on having viable internet with which to broadcast. Just saying. I'll take it with me, but I'm not counting on it. Well, wait. Stop. Well, no, I'll take it with me, just in case. Just in case. But I would say don't count on shows Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week. Because I know the days are going to be eaten up in meetings. And, you know, I'm kind of weird, I guess. I far prefer action over meetings about action. But that's where I'm going to be. So my apologies. But since this is the only show of this new week, and since it will be, by the time I get back to the microphone, the 20th of August, and we will be wondering where the month has gone, we will by then be in dire financial circumstances once again. So better that I should mention it now and hopefully get things remedied as it stands. If you go and you look at headonradionetwork.com, at the little target bar there, you will see that, yeah, we are about, $700 away from the mid-month goal. And by the time I get back, we'll be like $1,000 from the mid-month goal. Bills to be paid, you know. Bills to be paid. So I'm sorry to begin the program with all of that kerfuffle and foofraw. You know I hate doing that stuff. But apparently, I have to do it in order to keep making the donuts, as it were. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com, and at the tab Contribute, at the very top of the page, you'll also find the snail mail address if you prefer to help that way. Your help is badly needed and very much sincerely appreciated. Let's see, there was another... There was another program note out there, and I'm trying to remember what it was, but... I know. Yeah. Thanks to a lot of the work that you guys have done, I will be joining Sam Cedar tomorrow for a conversation about noon or a little afternoon Eastern time on Majority Report. So I hope you'll all tune in there, and we'll be talking about the AIC Act. We'll be talking about the scourge of mountaintop removal. And I really appreciate Sam's time in helping to spread the word. Because it's not because I've been involved with it that I say that the AIC Act is the only hope we have for ending mountaintop removal. It's because it is. No amount of civil disobedience, no amount of marches, no amount of arrests is going to bring about the legislative end of mountaintop removal. And as we have seen, it can only be ended legislatively. I don't know if you noticed this last week or not, but we lost another one in court. This time it was a federal judge here in West Virginia who said, no, please, go ahead, blow up some more West Virginia. Go ahead and poison some more people. Okay, I got to answer this. This iTunes thing is turning into a real nightmare. I don't know where it's gone, and trying to contact iTunes is more difficult than, real human beings. Trying to contact real human beings at iTunes is more difficult than trying to find the A-Team. I don't know where we went. My best guess is that during the derecho, they decided to delist us. Because they've got all these terms and conditions about how they'll cut you off if you're not, you know, streaming all the time, blah, 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 blah. And I don't know where we went. So give me a second here. Because Darlene just wrote in and says, couldn't get you through iTunes before my vacation. I'm not having success now. Is there something wrong on your end or is it my end? Actually, I don't think it's either of our ends, Darlene. I think it's the iTunes end. So what I'm telling Darlene is the best bet. Is to go either to headonradionetwork.com or to the whiterosesociety.org webpage, my webpage, subpage at whiteroesociety.org. Scroll down, go to Bob Kincaid, and bang, you will find the stream links there. And I truly do. So we've taken care of that. The I in iTunes, says Isaac, stands for idiot. It's frustrating. Yeah, you don't get any real communication. You're just either there or not there, and good luck and God bless. But let's see. Yeah, so check out Sam's show tomorrow at noon. A lot of you already do anyway, but if you haven't before, that's majority.fm, I believe. And just to make sure everybody knows, you know, of course, most of you do, but you have to say these things for the new listeners. If you want to get something through to the program, and you don't necessarily feel like calling the telephone, you can always reach me at Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid at gmail.com. And we'll go into some email stuff here in a little bit. Now, want to try to get as much done this evening as possible because, well, shucks, it's Monday, right? And being as how it's Monday, Lord, we have an abundance of material with which to work. More than an abundance. And they come from a variety of locales, and not just their side, our side as well. I've got one of those. Hopefully, I'll be able to find it. I'm kind of battling with the computer right now because, well, the fact of the matter is, it took a dive on me. Right before showtime, and that always sucketh. But I'm trying to recover a bunch of the stories that I had prior to showtime that have now disappeared. Yeah, there's the one I was after. Moran stuff from our side. Jenny just wrote in. She said, I usually listen on iTunes. I have switched to TuneIn Radio. It works, and we're still there. Thanks, Jenny. I appreciate it. So if you were having trouble with iTunes, that's an okay, too. Marty noting, okay, let us who use iTunes Radio take the baton from you and run with it. Okay, I'm passing the baton. I'm very slow. You're going to be able to. This is not going to be a clumsy baton handoff. I'm very slow. Say, okay, y'all take the baton. Let them know. Let them know. We're certainly not gone. I have no idea what moved them to do this. But I will. Let me make sure that this goes. One of these days, we'll have a staff. Won't that be fun? And there we go. No, it's Monday, and we have an absolute ton thanks, Darlene. Okay, Darlene says, okay, I'm hearing you now through White Rose. What a bunch of sucks at iTunes. No, I didn't say that. Right, you're exactly right, Marty. I am not Usain Bolt. Not by a long stretch. Not by a... No. No, I'm Bob Plod. You know, Plodding Bob. No, it's Moran Monday on the horn, you know. Yeah, I didn't forget. And I remember a couple of Mondays ago when we just had an absolute surfeit of Morans. And Sandra wrote in and said, no, don't stop the circus music. The circus music just needs to go on during the entirety of the program. Well, this feels a little bit like that. It is. It truly is. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up behind this thin cybernetic veil of cybernetic canvas. For less than one thin nickel per hour of programming, you, yes, you over there, you can be exposed to, and not have them expose themselves to you. You can be exposed to Morans of all stripe. All kinds, crazy ones, mean ones, hateful ones, Morans of all varieties, even Morans of the left from time to time, even though we hate it when they pop up, they do from time to time. This is the horn, and this is the program that you can't tell the Morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the Morans. Being Morans, however, you just can't tell them much. Women are advised to guard their purses. The Morans can be sticky-fingered and will take anything you have because being Morans and of the right-wing variety, they want it all. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Head for the hills. You'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Jesus, it really is. Do we necessarily include the choice of Paul Ryan under the broad general heading of Moran conduct? It's hard not to. But what's more disturbing, though, are the number of Americans, and maybe this is the general, and we've done it before, the general nomination of some portion of Merca that will vote for these two clowns as morons in their own right. This great googly moogly, they will, in their millions. It will probably be a close election, which, given the choices, is why I've taken to referring to our presidential plebiscites not as elections, not even as popularity contests, but no, as IQ tests. Now, Paul Ryan is one of those people who has just not held a whole bunch of jobs in that beloved, semi-sacred private sector that Willard Romney is forever talking about. By the way, I got if you look over on my Facebook page, you'll find a graphic posted by our good buddy Horst. Howell Munster, 2012. Beautiful little Photoshop job done somewhere by someone of Willard's face photoshopped onto a shot of Thurston Howell III next to a beautiful Photoshop job of Paul Ryan as Eddie Munster. Doesn't that tell you a little bit about the second decade of the 21st century? And it's a little bit depressing, where many of us were out there hoping for starships and things like that. No. We get retrograde motion. We get a guy with the name of a rat from a horror movie paired with a guy who looks for all the world like the beloved son of an inept Frankenstein monster. Eddie Munster. Eddie, where's Spot? We have a horror show candidacy. There's a lot to loathe about Paul Ryan, but apparently one of the people doing the loathing is not Willard Romney. No, this is a beautiful moment. It's one of those reminders that you really don't want to let Willard out without the handlers. Oh, by the way, Willard demanded several years, that's the phrase being used, several years of tax returns from each of those he was considering for the vice presidency. Tim Pawlenty, former governor of Minnesota, noting that, yes, he had to turn over several years of tax returns. Several years, also the operative phrase used by Eddie Munster, Paul Ryan, for his vetting process, but it has been stated that they will not really... They will not release, no, not more than 2 years of Paul Ryan's tax returns. Of course not. They wouldn't release any if they thought they could get away with it. Ryan is, of course, a climate change denier. He's one of those idiots who thinks that because it snows that there's no such thing as climate change. No, really. He wrote an op-ed in December of 2009 in which he said, unilateral, see, everybody, that's the thing. If you use words like unilateral, then the for-profit media will declare that you are an intelligent conservative with a lot of ideas. Because that's been the talking point. Well, he certainly is a heavyweight. He's a heavy hitter. He's a He's a policy wonk. Please. We want everything you've got is not exactly brilliance. But no, he said, unilateral economic restraint is that in the name of fighting global warming has been a tough sell in our communities where much of the state is buried under snow. I'm talking about Wisconsin. It snows in Wisconsin. That doesn't disprove the fact that the planet is being wrecked. He also claims that climate science research is a perversion. This is another quote, a perversion of the scientific method. You'll have to bear with me. I haven't heard his nondescript upper Midwestern accent enough to really get it down yet or anything close to it. Climate science is a perversion of the scientific method where data were manipulated to support a predetermined conclusion. He said it was done to intentionally mislead the public on the issue of climate change. Yeah, he doesn't want the USDA to prepare for climate change either. But this is my personal favorite. This is the introduction that Willard made. Of Paul Ryan this past Saturday. I don't know if this will go down in history as delightfully as did, say, Condoleezza Rice referring to George Bush as my husband, the president, but it's pretty good.
Join me in welcoming the next president of the United States, Paul Ryan.
Jesus, listen to the music. Really? Fanfare for the common man? For a pair of gazillionaires? Fanfare for the common man? I should go on name that tune. I had that pretty quick. Maybe it's not. I don't know, is that the theme music from Field of Dreams? Oh my God. Yeah, it's Moran Monday on the horn, and it may be tough to get through. Yeah, Marty. I feel for Butch Patrick having Paul Ryan compared to his as a kid mug. Sandra apparently was another iTunes listener. She says the iTunes stream's no longer there. TuneIn Radio is apparently a go-to for a lot of folks. TuneIn Radio, it's out there. Okay, maybe that's what... No, that's rodeo, Ron and Raleigh. Hey, Bob, beef, it's what's running for office. Dum, 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 dum. Oh, Jeebus. Darlene noting, who found the stream. Cool, Darlene. Yikes! I didn't think the GOP presidential ticket could get more frightening, but it did. The pigs always manage to outdo themselves. Unfortunately, it does not bode well for the sane among us. No, this is going to be a nasty... Jesus, this is going to be a hateful 3 months. It really is. Yucky, even. Thanks, Patty. Patty has filed a support case with Apple regarding iTunes and Horn streaming. She says, we'll see in the AM what they say when I talk with them. Hell, it's worth a try. Hey, Patty, if you can get a, if you can get a human being there, you're awesome. But then again, Patty is awesome. Long-distance dedication coming in from Michael. Since Paul Ryan listens to Nirvana on his iPod, that's what's being reported. Oh, Jesus Christ, that'll raise Kurt from the grave. Could I make a special request tonight? Nirvana's In Bloom. Aside from the very apt chorus, he's the one who likes all our pretty songs, and he likes to sing along, and he likes to shoot his gun, but he don't know what it means. Michael says, I'm pretty sure the opening line, sell the kids for food, is in his budget plan as an alternative to food stamps. He's really into alternative, you know. Michael says, furthermore, sounds like the second line, weather changes moods, is his official position on climate change. As Kurt Cobain would say, Michael says in closing, peace, love, empathy. Okay, thank you, Marty. Fanfare for the Common Man? No, Bob. That's the main title to Air Force One with Harrison Ford as the President of the United States. Well, anyway, you slice it. Willard. Yeah, Doc?
Bob, I'm under contract here. I expect you to call me when we have one of these moments.
Sorry, Doc. I was just kind of blowing through stuff here. Don't get so touchy.
Well, the fellow wants to be used for his expertise when the opportunity arises.
All right, Doc! Jesus. Who knew Freud was a diva?
Now, it's clear that Mitt Romney, Willard, I think you said his name is?
Yeah, Doc.
Willard is having some internalized problems. It may come from his party training, or perhaps he was madly in love and wanting to kill his father on...
Stop it, Doc. Really, that's so... Please, that's...
No, really. You know, we are pretty sure that George W. Bush was party trained at gunpoint, and that explains a lot. And it would appear that Herr Romney also has some problems along these lines. We hear much about his father, George, but not so much about his mother.
Okay, well, if you say so, Doc, you're the expert.
Yeah, I am! Well, don't you forget it! I sincerely think that it could be the fact that Willard Romney really does wish he was introducing Paul Ryan running for the presidency instead of himself.
Okay, Doc. That's a little frightening. It is. It really is. Onward to dystopia from the chat room pointing. And it's a lovely evening in the chat room, by the way. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. It's free. It's easy. Onward to dystopia noting, maybe it would take a Romney presidency in order for the American sheeple to wake from their slumber. I don't think so. If 8 years of George Bush won't do it, 4 more of Willard won't either. God, every time I say Willard, I see rats. So, the next president of the United States, Paul Ryan! You having a vision there, Willard? Are you going to be getting on the spaceship soon? Is that what it is? Oh, but we got more ands, and then we got more ands. And even our side, Don Hazen, a really smart guy over at Alternet, with a posting today, 9 reasons Romney's choice of Paul Ryan for Veep is smarter than you think. The subhead slug is, Romney's Ryan decision is a hugely dangerous step toward getting the Koch brothers' hand-picked star close to the presidency.
But no, I mentioned a little bit ago that he hasn't exactly worked a lot in that beloved private sector Willard likes to talk so much about. But he did work driving the Wienermobile one time. I mean, these are offered up. This was offered up by the Willard campaign as factual truths, and it's about a half a step away from, well, he stayed in a Holiday Inn Express once. And I feel real icky because I've actually had a bowl of soup in the Tortilla Coast restaurant down from the House Office Buildings in D.C. When I tell Brother Bo about this, he's going to have a conniption. Apparently, part of his private sector experience was part-time waitering at a little joint called Tortilla Coast there, just down behind the Cannon House Office Building. They have wonderful chips there. I'm a real chip aficionado. Jim noting, election 2012, another plebiscite not unlike the 1938 one in Austria. Austria, if George W. Bush, hey George, is listening, that's Austria, not Australia. Austria. I hope not, but there's always the possibility. It's about 24 minutes before the hour, and I've got other nominations, and I want to at some point get to this one that kind of got under my skin. I'll go ahead and give you a hint. It's a piece at Alternet by Joshua Holland, whose writing I respect and whose work I like. An interview with a guy named Chuck Thompson, and the thing's titled, "Is It Finally Time to Let the South Secede?" Oh, Jesus Christ, not again. A few years ago, we had that book, Whistling Past Dixie, that said nobody in the South was worth the effort it would take for a Democrat to campaign there. And here it comes again. You know, well, please, we don't like the bigotry that comes out of the South. Can we please stop returning favor for favor, please? Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Hey, Sandra.
I mean, listen, either, you know, they're channeling Stalin with the, you know, we count the votes, and it's the fix is just in, and, you know, we're about to just, you know, enter hell, or they're just really stupid, because this guy, I don't really know if, I don't know what's going on, because this is a joke. He is, most people don't even know the hell who he is. And Romney is already keeping him away from Florida. Florida is a must-win for Romney. So he's conceding Florida because, trust me, people who know about Ryan will know that he wants to destroy Medicare. I've never seen anything so starker in my life. And like a lot of progressives with any sense are talking, this need to be turned on Obama, push his ass, so he has to defend the safety net to the hilt. So when he gets reelected, he can't turn around and say, oh, I got to cut it. I mean, this could be a really good thing for our side if the fix isn't already in with the voting. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, that is the first and preeminent concern.
Well, because Romney picks, you know, because this is the worst. I mean, this pick is not, this is desperation. There's no way if Romney had a reasonable summer, he would have pulled this ass hat out, because he would have went with Pawlenty or someone that the Obama administration couldn't marginalize. I mean, this, they can marginalize Ryan. I mean, let's get it clear. The Obama administration is not stupid, and they know how to campaign. So I really don't know. I don't really know what's going on, because the tax thing's not going to go away just because he picked this fascist.
Oh, no. I mean, and Paul Ryan cannot. I mean, Paul Ryan's budget is glued to his forehead.
And not only that, but I mean, what else does he bring to the ticket? I mean, Wisconsin is, believe it or not, is still leaning towards Obama. And, I'm just looking at this and thinking, oh my God, you know, it's a horror show.
Oh, but Jesus God, this is two mornings in a row I've done it because, well, had to be up early, turned on the TV like an idiot.
I thought maybe they had a fluffer for Joe Scarborough under the table or something, because dude was swooning.
No, but that's fine for the. I mean, all those people are jacking off in corners in the Beltway because you know they love this Ryan person. You know, it's calling him courageous, but I don't really understand. The regular folks will see someone who wants to destroy programs for regular folks just to give tax breaks for rich people. There's nothing courageous about it. And I just don't. I really don't see. I don't see it being. I see it being a Sarah Palin with six packs. I'm sorry.
No, I mean this is Sarah Palin of a different stripe. Just out of left, kind of out of left field. You know, pandering to somebody. You know, Mussolini was a pander to the religious right wing. Paul Ryan is a pander. I don't know. Is that a pander to the Ron Paul crowd? Is that is, Sandra?
I mean, it's beyond that because you know he doesn't really. People are not looking to have Medicare and Social Security destroyed. I mean, it's just not happening. I mean, no one will go with that. And what the problem with maybe this will be something that Obama can do since. You know, he's not really viewed as sort of a, a bleeding liberal. He should be able to point out the flaws in this plan daily, every day, 24/7. Because the problem that I've been hearing is that most people don't even believe that that is their program, Mitt and Ryan. They, you know, it's so bad that focus groups can't even believe that this is what they're advocating. So Democrats have to get over that hump to even get people to believe that these Republicans are really out to eviscerate the social programs, eliminate capital gains. So Romney would pay effective tax rate of 0.08%. Do you understand what's going on here?
Jesus.
I mean, that's what, because
he'd complain about the 0.08, let's be clear.
Right, but he gets most of his money from investments along with these other rich parasites. So Ryan wants to eliminate capital gains.
That's
and he wants to raise taxes on the bottom 30%.
Yeah, to the tune of what? $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000
right.
A year?
But this is what is there. I mean, this is, you know, that's what I'm saying about the Obama administration. There is no way they're not welcoming this pick. So Romney was desperate because he was just bleeding out, I guess, because they're not trying to say, oh, he had picked them back in the first. I don't believe none of it. I think that,
I think he got leaned on.
Somebody told him to pick this asshole.
I mean, you think they put Rafalka's head in his bed or something?
Oh, I don't know. But, I mean, the whole thing is a joke. And like I said, I really don't know what, I'm not too sure what is going to prevent Obama from being reelected, because what else this has done is effectively eliminated the horrific mass unemployment issue, because now everyone's going to be talking about the deficit on both sides, and that bodes well for Obama, because Obama don't want to talk about jobs because of the end of it all. Now, it don't bode well for us if they're sitting around jacking off over the deficit again.
No, that's true.
Eliminate Romney from the picture, which I suppose, just for self-preservation, that's a good thing. But I don't know. I don't really know what's going on.
Can we go back for a minute? You started off talking a little bit about this being sort of a giving up Florida thing, which is, I mean, there's no serious political candidate for the presidency that would ever really intentionally do that, is there?
Well, no, but I don't understand. You know, have you... Listen, the papers in Florida are, like, ripping both these people a new one. The papers down there. They're like, what the hell? So, you know, this is not going over well down in Florida. No matter how much they try to decouple the generations, it's not quite there yet. And, you know, to me, this is the last run for this type of sort of Republican, because you know, they got to figure out a way to destroy the safety net, you know, before all these brown people come of age. I mean, that's what it's all about, Bob.
It absolutely is.
I mean,
it absolutely is, and that's kind of where I was going with running back to Florida, Sandra, because there were given his margin of victory, wouldn't Marco Rubio have gone a long way toward delivering Florida?
Yeah, that would have been the best route. But you know, it's absolutely. I don't know. I don't know what fantasy world. I'm not too sure. But trust me, when people, you know, when they pay attention in the last 3 weeks or 4 weeks of this hideous election, and they see exactly what the hell the Ryan plan is and what they're planning to assault the Americans with, no one's going to vote for that bullshit. So I'm not too sure.
Are they going to? Well, let me ask another question then. Are they going to? Do they think they're going to carry Florida by saber rattling at Iran?
Well, see, this is the other wild card to me, because I've also noticed, you know, the sort of the propaganda or whatever, the media, basically Israel is seriously talking about, we're just going to go ahead and attack now. This is what's coming out in the media. And I'm thinking, well, shit, that's one way of really causing huge problems for Obama. I'll tell you that.
Well, reckon maybe that got discussed a little bit. Reckon that got discussed a little bit over when Willard was there hanging out with his old business buddy, Benny Netanyahu?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that is a worry for me. I'm scared of that, I have to say. Also, but one interesting thing that's on is that this Adelson, you know, his little, I always refer back to The Godfather 2 because, yes, I think that's real life, so I love that. Anyway, this fool is having problems in China with his casino dealings. I mean, they're just all criminals, you see? They're all crims, and he's being investigated and on and on and on, and he's dubious. And then you have the death squad seed money for Bain. I mean, all of it is so scandalous, you see? I'm just like, wow. Wow, okay?
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, meanwhile, these people are never held to account. Republicans can do whatever they want to do. Remember when Bill Clinton just looked like he got some money from that Chinese guy?
Oh, always, it was six solid years of Charlie Tree.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, but we got these Republicans with their dubious, these billionaires, who are all criminals because, you know, in the real world, you don't make $1 billion without screwing over people. So let's just say that straight up. I'm so sick of the idea that people have a billion.
Yeah, that you just benignly blundered into your billions.
If you believe that, all you have to do is look at the state of the middle class in this country to see what happens when you have a bunch of billionaires and the rest of us.
Well, let's work this just for a minute, if we could, Sandra. I maintain that what we see in this pick is one of those moments when the people who are pulling Willard's strings said, "Oh hell no." I don't think he could. I don't think his string pullers would have allowed him to have Marco Rubio. Because even if his Cuban ancestry is such that he is back in the 19th century, when Major League Baseball first tried to integrate the first time, I think it was the Cincinnati Reds had to send a letter about a pitcher that they had brought up certifying that even though he came from Cuba, he was, and this is the phrase, as white as Castile soap. There's enough in that Hispanic name to create a real problem in the real soldiers of Moroni, who are going to be out there on the hustings for Willard.
Yeah, but isn't he also Mormon too, Rubio?
No.
I thought he was Mormon for a minute. No.
Well, he was Mormon for a minute. Just long enough to get his ticket on the spaceship or whatever. But no, he went back, and he's either re-Catholicized or he's a fundy now. I can't remember which.
Yeah. Well, and also, I don't. Yeah, because also the thing with Ryan, which is always funny because the Republicans, they don't really care. They deal with hypocrisy. They don't care. They just want to win, which is a page that we should take because they don't care. Because this fool has been on the government tit since he came into public office.
No. Before.
And he was getting money from Social, you know, from Survivor benefit before that. And he, you know what I'm saying? It's just, are you kidding me with this guy? But the so-called, you know, sacred independent voters are trying to get, you know, they will be curious about that fact. I just think it's a disaster all around for Romney. I'm not, unless I'm missing some analysis here, I was laughing my ass off when I saw that being tweeted, that it was Ryan. I thought, oh, wow, this is way out of control.
Well, it struck me as an act of just total and complete desperation.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't. Does Ryan bring along a particular cachet for the teabaggers?
I don't really know what he brings along. What did Pierce call him? A zombie eyed granny killer. It's like, God damn, if that's not a sweet meme right there.
Oh, that's
zombie eyed granny killer. That's quick and to the point. That's it. That's all you need to say. Because that's what I'm saying to anybody who asks about this fool.
And I think that's one to hang on to, zombie-eyed granny killer. God.
No, it's fantastic. It's like, yeah, thanks. You know, because it's, you know, it's about time, you know, that we had a delineation like this. So this shit is about as clear as can be. Now, let's not underestimate the ability of the Democrats to flub everything
up. Oh, what? You mean the Democrats' ability to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory?
Well, no, this, yeah. But we have to remember that, you know, we are also at, you know, if we want to use the military metaphor, at war with them, too, because I think no matter who wins, they're all going to be trying to come back to us saying that, oh, we're broke and we need to augment this safety net somehow.
That's what I expect to hear for the next 3 months. You know, well, you know, we're sorry, we can't afford your Medicare anymore.
No, but see, that's not going to happen though if, you know, there's a huge push because they're going to be hard pressed after doling out $16 trillion, and they're going to tell, because a lot of people are quite aware of the situation with the banks. That's a fact. So it's going to be hard to turn around and tell young people and old people that, sorry, you know, we don't have nothing for you. I'm telling you, it ain't going to be as easy as you think. And coming from Obama, oh, hell no. So, you know, if this is handled right, people can sort of push Obama into doing something else, something he don't want to do. But that's fine. We don't, you know, I don't care. He's just another politician at this point. So
yeah, and you've identified something that I think is incredibly important, and that is to what extent will we talk about the real issues pressing in upon this country. I don't know if you heard it or not, but I caught some soundbite from Willard the other day where he said that Barack Obama wants to have a European style blah blah blah, massive permanent unemployment, blah blah blah, and I kept thinking, Sandra, but yeah, but those European unemployed, they don't have what they used to have, but they've got a damn sight more than the unemployed have in this country,
and the unemployed are not gonna have, because they just let this program expire that gives the extra extensions.
Yeah.
For unemployment. That expired last week, and it's like, oh, I didn't see, you know, I didn't hear about that in the media.
No, not even a whimper.
No, but we're looking at, we already have 6 million people just on food stamps. Okay? Now, week to week, we're losing more and more people who have access to cash, courtesy of the unemployment insurance. So, by the end of the year, you're going to have up to 2 million people added to that 6 million with no identifiable income stream. Now,
that's last I checked, that's a recipe for disaster, right?
People are not going to let their kids starve. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? It ain't happening. So I don't know what they plan. I don't know what they think is going to go on in this country if they're going to leave people with nothing? Because since we're getting these shootouts daily, hey, I'm scared, okay?
Yeah, and did you catch what Rick Perry said?
Well, I didn't want to know. I was like, another shooting? You know, I was thinking, oh, my God, more shootings. What did he say?
He said that he believes it is states' rights if an individual state wants to ban firearms, or the way he described it, take away the right of the people to have guns. Now, that places him to the left, Sandra, of the so-called liberal wing of the Supreme Court.
Okay, so wait. Now, what happened to the Constitution? That went away right there? What is he talking about?
Who knows? You know.
I mean, no. Listen, I'll tell you, this is a surefire way of getting gun control, meaningful gun control, back in the public discourse. Have black people overtly start buying shit up, buying it up visibly. I don't mean in the inner city. I mean walking wherever, buying up guns, ammo, like en masse. You see some meaningful gun control real quick, all right? That's my policy plan. Shit. Because we didn't have meaningful gun control before.
No.
Until the Black Panthers started marching around up and down the steps in Sacramento. Then all of a sudden you had Ronald Reagan and all them other crackers talking about it. So, you know how to get things done in this country.
Yeah, scare the white folks.
Put the black face on it and watch. If you think all the people was marching with Trayvon Martin, if they all showed up with guns and shit, oh, you might have heard a different story.
Yeah, exactly. And
no.
Oh, God, you just reminded me that that Willard said he felt so bad for the sheiks.
Oh, God, that whole thing there was really disturbing, too, because it's like, oh, wait. Why isn't this in the news night and day? Right, it's brown folks. You see what I mean? It is so blatant and so horrifying that we have to stutter and stammer about if it was a terrorist attack. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, they're not sure if it was a terrorist attack. And that's when you've got a sure enough Nazi shooting people.
I know. No, I was, but I don't even want to make light of it because I couldn't believe that I saw yet another shooting in Texas. What do you have? Three people dead and some four or five injured or something like that?
And the shooter has, of course, died of his wounds now, so.
And was he, I mean, guess the race? Can you give me that?
Probably white folks.
I don't even mean to laugh. See, I don't want to laugh because it's not a laughing moment, but it's just, I can't even believe that we as Americans have to put up with just walking out and wondering, what the fuck, am I going to get shot up because some fucking myopic, scared-ass cracker can't cope with life, he's going to start shooting up, and I can't get a grip on them having endless guns and ammo.
I'm not telling tales out of school, but we got a phone call in the middle of the night, basically telling us that there was somebody might be headed our direction with a firearm.
All right, to what, shoot you?
Could be.
Oh, wow, I'm not surprised by that. That's horrible.
But it's just another day, and we got to understand it's more important for these fetishists to have, nine dozen firearms in their gun safe or whatever, than it is, it's more important that they have that than, my kids get to sleep through the damn night, Sandra. And so it wasn't political. It was nasty and it was a mess. But there it was. God bless America, but it's where we're going. I mean, that's why I keep this steady little drum beat. And bless her heart, Susie Madrack over at Crooks and Liars. Where are we when you get to this headline? And this is not me criticizing Susie. I think she's spot on. I love Susie's work. She said, but the headline over at Crooks and Liars, Betsy sent this to me. another day, another mass shooting at Texas A&M. And down in the body of her piece, she says, ho-hum, another week, another mass shooting with automatic weapons. Soon they'll hold a candlelight vigil. Politicians will say a few solemn words, and then it'll be business as usual. Seriously, what the is wrong with this country?
Well, you know, I think I tweeted something about, oh, fuck thoughts and prayers. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm really well past the thoughts and prayers part.
Oh, my God.
You know,
I'm like, if I have to hear that again, my head's going to explode.
Well, and then, you know, Sandra, it goes back for me to, you know, the stuff that the little old blue-haired ladies were reading to me in the basement of the Baptist church. You know, there's that verse in, what is it, James? The book of James that says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. You know what? When a movie theater has been gunned down, when a temple full of Sikhs has been shot up, when a grocery, you know, a grocery store parking lot has become the scene of a massacre, quit with the candlelight vigils and stop talking, you know, none of those words mean a damn thing, Sandra. Not a thing.
I just am. It's really. And the thing is, there is no reason to think that this is not just going to escalate. That's the thing. We're not talking about, oh shoot, and then a year from now something else will happen. This.
Three in a month.
Conditions are in place, and then when you know, Mr. Obama is being, you know, inaugurated again, what do we have to do? Hide out?
Yeah, there won't be any couple of million people in D.C. for this inauguration. It'll be done quietly behind bulletproof glass.
No, because I'm like, shit.
Well, no, you sent me that story from Longview, Texas earlier today, and I'm just sitting there with my little head in my hands.
You mean that thing I sent you?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that one is what I wanted to ask you, because I was like, OMG, I couldn't even believe it. I just thought,
yeah,
wow.
So Cletus goes to the grocery store somewhere near Longview, Texas. He's checking out. He's got his groceries. And there's a man, and, you know, hey, look, I'm grateful for the grocery stores that still have people that sack your damn groceries. You know, there's a lot of them where you got to do it yourself. I'm glad somebody's got a job. So, dude is sacking Cletus's groceries, and Cletus says, wait a minute, don't touch my groceries. I can't have someone negroidal touching my food. It is against my creed. And the minute you hear that word creed, you know that he's been to a meeting or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, but, I mean...
And the cashier's like, oh, okay, he's kidding. No, really. And he goes, no, I can't have a Negro a bagging my groceries.
And I mean, it's just beyond the beyond. I mean, thankfully the guy bagging didn't face any physical harm. Unlike this, did you see the mugshot of that idiot who? Well, I just shot an N-word. So what's the problem? That
right.
Guy?
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, so of course I'm sitting here thinking, let me go right quick and listen to, you know, some Nina Simone, the Mississippi goddamn. She said, I don't want to live next to your ass. I just want my fucking equality. You understand what I'm saying? I'm like,
right.
When did that song get done, and why am I listening to it August 13th, 2012? You see what I'm saying?
Right. But dude, Cletus, and this is the punchline of the story. The way it shakes out, the manager gets, I mean, there's a lot of people in this story doing the right thing.
Oh, for sure.
The guy that he objected to having him touch his food, you know, and you know, that's just crazy all by itself, Sandra. It makes it sound like he done pulled the pork chops out from the plastic and just kind of patting his body with it, right?
Yeah.
No, he's just picking the food up and putting it in the damn bag. I don't need a negroidal person touching my food. That's my creed. What, he's got it written on the wall at home? So, dude does not do what he... you know what? Texas probably has a fighting word statute, and if the guy bagging the groceries had cold-cocked the son of a bitch right there, he probably would have been within his rights.
Well,
not that a jury would have let him. But no, he went off to another part of the store, mentioned it to the manager. Manager comes up, and calls the cops and makes the guy wait until the cops get there so that they can issue him a trespass warning and tell him don't never come back here again. And so
well, I like the yeah, but then now he's doing a lawsuit, right?
So Cletus files a 9-page handwritten lawsuit, and you just got it. You got to know the clerk at the federal district court office. You know, just as soon as he was going, hey, Marlene, come over here. Because it's something even most rational white folks look at and go, Jesus, really? 2012?
Well, no, I like the last line. Somebody said, I've had several people say they would have touched a hell of a lot more than his groceries.
Right.
If they had been in line behind him. And I'm thinking, thank you.
But see, what I think is important here is that this didn't happen in a vacuum, Sandra. This is a direct result of the broadcasting that's put out there by the Radio Rwanda arm of the Republican Party every day, whether it's Rush or Hannity or Savage. I'll give you money this guy's a Michael Savage listener, okay? Or just a Fox viewer. This doesn't happen by accident. The manager said, we have a few people who want to sack their own groceries, but it's not for the same reason DeWitt gave. They do it because, and that's how you got to say it, Sandra, DeWitt. They do it because they just like to have their stuff bagged a certain way, certain groceries in certain bags. If he want, but meanwhile, Cletus has filed himself a lawsuit, and he says that he has been religiously discriminated against. So he's filed a 9-page 1983 civil rights action against the grocery store, but he says he'll drop it if they'll drop the trespass charge because he wants to keep shopping there.
Well, I just thought that story was just crazy, but I mean, it's not just for black folks. Did you see the ad that Pam Geller put
on? Oh, Jesus, on the buses?
Yes. I can't remember exactly what it said, but it was just some crazy Zionist gibberish. And I'm thinking, Muni need to be ashamed of them damn self. They, you know, I couldn't even believe that Muni did that. I don't know what the follow-up is, but I know people are clamoring. They're like, can you remove that?
Yeah, she tried to put them on buses in New York, but didn't get away with it.
It was like a no.
Yeah. So the message says, in any war between the civilized man and the savage, support the civilized man. And then there's two stars of David, and it says, support Israel, defeat jihad.
Right. And everyone should know that this Geller is the same cow that, gave all the inspiration to that freak in Norway.
Right.
That, you know, and that's the one I said, well, should Norway need to send a drone? And I'll just leave it at that.
Sorry, you know? I have to laugh, but again, I come back to what I was saying. These things are not happening because of some alignment of the planets, Sandra. They're not happening. It's not some sort of randomized something or another. The right wing has been whipping the racists into an absolute frenzy for how many years now?
Oh no, and it's in the nth degree now, and it's all, and I'm not joking when I said me and mine are going to be indoors when they inaugurate. I'm sorry, I don't know what's going to happen here with those people, but it's getting scary.
And the thing is, you know, okay, so we got Pam Geller, but she's a private citizen, and you know they made that decision in San Francisco, God knows why. And you got Cletus down here in Longview, Texas. Okay, private citizen. Well, what happens when it's an actual member of the Congress, Sandra? Joe Walsh, and we're not talking about the fun one who did, you know, Life's Been Good and all of that stuff. No, the Republican from Illinois who couldn't find his checkbook when it was time to pay his child support obligation.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. Oh God.
So
yeah,
he delivered this town hall speech, and he said after after somebody had taken pot shots at an Illinois mosque in Morton Grove, somewhere in the greater Chicagoland area, with a pellet gun. So about a mile and a half away, representative, you know, sworn to uphold the Constitution and all of that stuff, Sandra. Representative Joe Walsh says, one thing I'm sure of is there are plenty of people, there are people in this country, there's a radical strain of Islam in this country. It's not just over there, trying to kill Americans every week. It is a real threat, and it is a threat that is much more at home now than it was after 9/11. It's here. It's in Elk Grove. It's in Addison. It's in Elgin. It's here. And so, you know, this is how you wind up with a skinhead former member of some radical race metal band blowing away a Sikh shrine because he can't tell the difference between a Sikh and a Muslim. You know, they all look the same to me, that whole thing. God almighty.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think there's a good, and I don't know if it was, I think it was Malloy who was, you know, making a good case for, I mean, all of this is like Father Coughlin on steroids. And it's, you know, these people need to be held accountable, yet they never will be. And all you need is some, what was that, Reverend, was it, oh, God, that one that they were going off the deep end with, Obama's preacher?
Oh, Jeremiah yeah. Wright? Yeah.
Right, you know, you just look at the sort of what happens when it's on the, you know, some on the other side, and when it's with these people to the point where Janet whatever her name is from the Homeland Security.
Yeah, Napolitano.
Napolitano, you know, pulled any sort of tracking of these people behind the pressure from these right-wing politicians. Because they had an intelligence report on exactly what these people are. And they were shouted down, and the administration ran scared again. And now we have this these right-wing terrorists going buck wild here, and we have no means of tracking them. But if it's some Muslim, Jesus, you know, they're all, yeah, it's just too much. All of it is really disturbing. Anyway, I must let you go, but I have to talk about what's the latest Tebow watch.
What have you heard?
Well, it sounds like, you know, they're trying to fit him in the scheme of things. I mean, is Sanchez going to lose his job?
It depends on how the season begins, and two, it depends on how noisy the fundies get inside the stadium. I don't know. I mean, is Ryan as malleable and subject to pressure as what's his face was? Out in Denver?
I don't really know, but he needs to not be skinny. That's probably part of the problem.
Ain't that the truth?
I'm like, hello? Can't get my eyes right looking at that, but never mind. I mean, I know it's probably good for his health, but it's kind of take me aback. Listen, on the other thing I want to say is, I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but I was dying. Eric Idle with his little performance at the closing ceremony was unbelievable.
No, I haven't even heard.
Shut up. You have got to see it. Oh, my God. It was the funniest. It was great. I couldn't even believe how funny it was.
They let Eric Idle get involved with the closing ceremonies of the Olympics?
And he cussed. And he had to
did NBC just censor him out because America's not interested in that?
The best part of it was, you know how they do their name conversation over everything? They could not a word was spoken for the whole time he was up there doing his bit. That was the only time they was quiet. And that shit was funny as hell. I didn't know. I have to see if I can probably get a copy of the closing ceremony and figure some way of getting it to you. Oh, my God. it just was beyond funny. It's great, okay? It was great.
No, stop it. I just saw it here. He led 80,000 people in a rendition of Always Look on the Bright Side of Life.
And he had this whole bit where some Indian dancing was. I just can't describe it. I can't describe how fun it was. Unbelievable. Okay, I mean the Black Adder was funny, but
dancing was, nuns.
Yeah, with panties of the Union Jack. I mean, listen, I don't even know what to tell you about that whole performance, but it was unbelievable, okay? So damn funny.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. It was amazing when he was looking around when they were dancing. All of a sudden, he joined in, and he knew exactly what to do. I was like, damn, okay? We're fantastic.
That's beautiful. And they trotted out the Who again?
Well, they had the Who, somebody doing the, I don't know what band it was. They did the rendition. But the thing that scared me the most, though, was Freddie, you know, the hologram of Freddie Mercury. And then the...
Oh, I just saw him mention it. That had to be a little weird.
That was a bit weird, but I know people are going to be hating on me, but George Michael tore that place up. That shit was on, okay? It was great. He looked fantastic.
He was he's an awesome performer.
Yes, that white boy can move it. All right, I loved it.
That by the way, Bill just checked in from Cleveland. He said I heard some sports blab today on the radio, talking about Tebow as conversion to running back, and of course the ever-present we'll use him in wildcat situations.
Well, listen, I guess I'll be trying to look at some Jet games just for some entertainment.
Yeah, I just don't want to hate. You know, I don't like to hate on the Jets just to be hating on the Jets.
Well, I'm not going to be hating on them. I'm just going to be, we have to keep on top of it. Because this fool running in the rain, they slow-mo'd it. Come on now.
Well, I'm still not over the West Hollywood Manny and Petty thing.
No, it's too much. It's just building up for him. Okay, I don't know what's going on with dude, but no.
I got it. I figured it out.
Good man, right?
It just hit me. You know how the NFL had to create a special rule saying that he couldn't put John 3:16 in his eye black?
Oh, God, yes.
Bible verse on black painted nails. Well, watch and see. Watch and see, because, he can't let the NFL get in the way of witnessing for his personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no. No way. Well, anyway, listen.
Wow, we're shallow. And ain't it fun?
Veered into the delirium, but that's all right. And you got to find... I got to get that to you. I don't know how, but...
Oh, just the lyrics of it. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke. It's true. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it is. It's worth the... I mean, because a lot of it was really, of course, it was too much. This one chick they kept bringing back to do renditions, and I was like, oh, no, I've seen you enough. And then the Spice Girls, that was horrific and scary.
No. What?
Well, it was scary and posh and whoever else, but it was scary, too. And I was just like, no. Now, apparently, Victoria Beckham, she's like, oh, no. But the other ones were so excited, now they're considering... Brace yourself. Some sort of reunion tour.
Oh, please. No.
But they're not going to have Victoria, but she can't be doing that.
No, but aren't they? I mean, God, I mean, my oldest was a little girl. They'll be on walkers, won't they?
Well, they all looked a bit. I mean, they looked okay, but they was kind of scaring me, okay? Now, I was like, oh, wow. But I'll give them.
No, I mean, this goes way back. I mean, I remember being personally horrified when my 9-year-old daughter was, walking through, if you want to be my lover. No, not at 9.
Exactly. No. They were, it's too much. And I don't want the girls to even rediscover that. See, that's the thing.
Right, because there's already enough.
Well, I already had the girls. I looked away, and there they were looking at Michael Jackson, the 81 moonwalk. So they all on that now.
That oh, yeah. Performance. No, the internet is a time machine, too, and it's a frightening one.
Exactly. Anyway, listen, have a good evening.
You too, Sandra. See ya.
All right.
Bye now. Yes, we get shallow sometimes, but damn, it's fun. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, this is Grant.
Hey, Grant, how's it going, man?
Pretty good. You know, I noticed in the last call, this is the reason I called up, I noticed that right on the onset you guys were getting really in a twist about the puppet show du jour, that's what I call it. You know, Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, these guys. You know, it's interesting, I was sitting around with some coolers and a buddy of mine from the South, and he's a bit more practical than I am. Doesn't get quite so caught up in a twist about things. And it's kind of refreshing from perspective. And he says, you know what, Grant? This is a pulse run. They're not serious about Mitt Romney. They're not serious about Paul Ryan. They're pulsing the constituency. They're pulsing the public. This is where they take their pulse and put something up the ass and take a temperature. That's all this is. So I would caution folks on our side not to take this shit too seriously and not to get too bunched up about it. I mean, from the way I see it, these are like baboons in a cage. They're going to throw not just spaghetti. We'll be on spaghetti. They're going to throw a straight poo against the wall.
And right? See if it sticks.
To see what the pulse of the constituency is.
Well, I think you've got a valid point, Grant, and I'll add something into that, and that is this, that for instance, Jim, you know, Jim referenced it a few nights ago, the big lie theory, you know, the fact that they're working out of somebody's playbook, and we're not going to say it because we don't want to violate Godwin's law or anything, but they're working out of somebody's playbook, and part of that playbook is that if you've got a lie and you repeat it often enough, it will eventually work its way sort of, you know, corkscrew worm-like into the psyche of the people as the truth. It's the big lie theory.
Right, through their vulnerability.
And so if you've got a national platform and a national, for all intents and purposes, bully pulpit to scream, we're broke, we're broke, we're broke, then they'll get that message out beyond the people who sit around watching C-SPAN and Fox. Because remember, it's those independents who haven't made up their minds, and you know, one of these days I want to meet one of those people, Grant. Because I just want to take their little space helmet off and have them breathe oxygen for a while.
It'd be amazing how their IQ improves.
Well, but what you're that's who they're after with all of this we're broke business. If they can get American Idol watchers to think that we're broke, well, job done.
Yeah, but you know what? I got to say something. Well, first off, I got a little bit of an upfront disclaimer. I've had about three or four of these bladder buster sized rum and juice concoctions.
Yummy.
So my inhibitions are about negative at this point. So I might let free a few sandpaper words for Brother Jim.
Well, no, I understand that, but we're getting an early start on Monday, aren't we, Grant?
Yes, we are, because I've been contemplating some heavy shit. You know, there's stuff that comes in the weekend cycle that you process and your bile sac can't handle it and your kidneys can't handle it. It's time for the reach for the rum. That's where I'm at with some of this stuff. It's just, you know, so I'm on the upward swing curve of epiphanous perspective with the aid of alcohol after a disillusioned and despondent sort of trench traversal. So that's where I'm at. Just saying. But yeah, I mean, the thing is this. I mean, it's kind of funny because, you know, when my buddy said, you know what, they're just splatting poo to see what'll happen. They want to check where, you know, the room temperature IQ crowd is and this kind of stuff. I said, you know what, and this is where I called it. I invoked Bob Kincaid, and I said, you know what, they're going to run Jeb Bush. He said, yeah.
Well, this
took about half a second, and he said, yep, they're going to run Jeb.
Jebby's a possibility, but if we're talking about 2016, so too, Grant, is Paul Ryan, and that goes back to the poo flinging thing. They're just going to keep flinging it until people think that having poo on them is the de facto normative state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, the strange thing about that crowd that you mentioned, the CNN such crowd. You know, I have a little different perspective on that because ever so often I get these statistics about viewership, And every time I hear it, it's lower.
Oh, CNN's going into the toilet.
Not just CNN. I mean all MSM, all mainstream media, corporate, blah, blah, blah. I mean, unless you're beyond the age of 60, you got a corn cob up your ass, your mental frame on reality is fixed in the 1950s, and blah, 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 you know, the boomer thing. You know, there's a whole other reality gaining immense, deeply rooted traction. And it's going forward around, you know, the vitamin D deficient retirees. This counts for the future. This counts. I mean, it's going to be a hard traversal, but it counts.
And but also, you know, what Sandra said is very true. Are they working Stalin's side of the street? You know, the one that's where, you know, it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes?
There's always that in the mix.
By the way, Jim offering cheers to you. He says alcohol can do that. Milton can to justify the ways of God to man. Enjoy your highball, says Jim.
Thank you, sir. And I you know, Jim's the kind of guy I find fascinating. I'd love to sit around a campfire with a case of whiskey with that dude.
A case. You're an ambitious soul.
And because of what I perceive as his long experience in matters that matter, it's about that long it would take to really cycle through it all.
Just remember to bring the good stuff, Grant.
Absolutely.
Bottled in bond or don't come at all.
Indeed. Life's too short. Why waste your time?
On cheap liquor. Exactly.
Thank you, Jim. Because, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of things where, you know, if we weren't in a surveilled grid, it is amazing the kind of conversations we could otherwise have on truly substantive matters that are beyond.
Well, I think we get pretty close here. I mean, at least, you know, at least the ninnies over at the Funky Communications Commission can't say a blessed word when you decide to drop one of what you just described as your sandpaper words. FCC can go pound sand.
Thank you. And that's why I love the Internet. It really is the last bastion of the First Amendment, in my opinion. We can say without censorship anything goddamn well please.
I draw personal lines here, Grant. You know, we're not going to yell fire in a crowd. We're not going to yell movie in a crowded firehouse or anything.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you reach meaningful conclusions is if in fact you've been able to work that freewheeling side of the street.
Sure. You can consider it a sort of experimental scaffold in many ways. If you've lived under FCC censorship. As a profession, you know, to get out and just move your elbows as far to the left and right as you can reach. And to experience that, I think, is a notable experience. And this is why I really think the Internet is the future of things, whether it's surveilled or not. I mean, I got to tell you something. When you played that little Elvis mimic of Hello, NSA, I hum that shit to myself. Really listen. You know, I mean, it's so appropriate. I mean, we're full on. I mean, have you listened to the Peter B. Codd podcast of what the hell's going on in that sector? We are at the point of full on KGB, no kidding, you know, manifestation.
No, this is, you know what?
We might as well jazz these fuckers. I mean, why do you think I'm putting things in the chat room like, okay, Freddy and the Donuts. It's a band name now. Freddy and the Donuts. It's an off-the-reservation kind of band that music sucks. And that's the kind of jokes I fucking crack. Because it's true. They are so...
Well, you know, for years now...
We're not allowed to have a conversation with them.
For years now, we have periodically just, you know, given a shout-out to Agent Fred down in the bowels of the NSA... simply because we know they're listening.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's
they really
are, because we've seen them. And this goes way back in the Horn's history, to when we were being Peter Godbold discovered it, and he's forgotten more networking stuff than I'll ever learn. And he said, you know, by the way, just thought you guys would like to know that the Department of Defense and the NSA are pinging us on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the way, things you can't mention on terrestrial radio. I learn things all the time, Grant. You'll get a kick out of this. We were driving by Chick-fil-A today over in Beckley on our way home from the Prism series.
Homophobic chicken?
Yes. America's most intolerant chicken sandwich. And lo and behold, it said, peach shakes are back. Because I guess everybody loves their peach shakes. And something clicked. Maybe it was something I got from maybe the sick and twisted, delightfully sick and twisted sense of humor of Isaac on my Twitter feed. Peach shake. So there it is. I ran over to the Urban Dictionary, Grant. Peach shake. The act of a man having sexual intercourse with a milkshake in a glass, usually with the effect of the fluid being explosively extruded from the glass in fountains of creamy milkshake goodness. Used in a sentence, my dad walked in on me doing the peach shake one day and got mad because of the ruined upholstery.
Okay, this is where I got to go with Spike Rogan of Pennsylvania. This dude's got the almanac on the repressed sexuality of the right wing. If you want to know about repressed shit, I mean, leather, lace, hellbent, and handcuffs, Spike's your man.
Oh, really?
He has given me the insight into these people like nobody's business.
Oh, Spike knows them because, you know, he just walks quietly among them up in that neck of the woods. So no doubt about it.
And doesn't miss a goddamn trick, I got to tell you, what he told me. It's amazing. I mean, you know, this is where Alan Watts talks about the double bind of Judeo-Christian, you know, dysfunction. I mean, this is the manifestation of it. It really is. Everything's forbidden fruit. You know, it just drives them maniacally.
Yeah, especially if they're peaches.
Yeah, especially if they're, yeah. Anything to do with apple pie, peaches, ice cream, you know, yeah. Confections just are never quite construed the same way.
Nope. Anyway. Well, apparently peach shakes are going to start making the rounds now. Not peach shakes, peach shakes, Marty. Come on! What are your earbuds busted? I know my pronunciation isn't that bad. Peach shakes, you know, from Georgia, where Chick-fil-A was born long ago. You know, Dixie, Georgia, peaches.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? There's a Osborne Inc. turned me on to something I think is worth mentioning about some of the things you and Sandra were talking about just in passing. There's a guy named Daryl Johnson, who used to work for DHS, who actually did his job and did a profile on a lot of the sort of vitamin D deficient terrorist groups in America. And for his trouble.
Would those be members of what David from Maine has decided are members of the I Got Nothing Institute?
In a way, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this dude impresses me because he did his job, did it very, very well. And for his trouble, the walking hairdos on Fox News, you know, created such a sort of extortion racket, Radio Rwanda, typical fucking dust up, that they got his ass fucking, you know, drummed out of his job. You know, the thing that's cool about this dude is that he set up his own private enterprise. So, all right, you're going to be this way? Fuck yes. I'm going to go out of my own. And the cool thing is, you know, Southern Poverty Law Center, I'm about half drunk.
Yeah, SPLC.
Yeah, SPLC and Plan Watch and these guys need to, like, pay this guy to do their work for them, the legwork, because he knows the creature of which he speaks. He knows these fuckers from the inside of their skulls before they themselves know themselves. And he's the kind of guy, I think, and this is credit to Matt Osborne for turning me on to this guy. This guy's a professional, and I think he needs to be turned to in a private capacity to keep an eye on these motherfuckers.
All right. Cool. Well, Grant, I don't like for anybody to take half measures or do things halfway. So with that in mind, I will encourage you to not be half drunk and to finish the job.
Okay.
And to go forth and do so in memory of the rest of us who can't yet. You know, I have this standing vow that I won't do Limbaugh Radio. I've violated a couple of times, but not a lot. Do enjoy, and it's awful good to hear from you, my friend.
I'll be in touch.
All right, take care, Grant.
Cheers.
Bye now. And I will go ahead and simply make mention, for the sake of making mention, that we're halfway through the program this evening, and no, nobody's really hit the PayPal button during the course of the program. Yeah, maybe you can't. I understand if that's the case. But it's, you know, this is how we pay the bills. So anything, you know, PayPal button's there if you can help. Let's keep it rolling by all means. Hey, welcome to the program.
Conjured.
Oh, hey, David.
Conjured. Yeah, my whole feeling on before the Romney thing and Paul Ryan. I did notice something that was very disturbing to me. There's a new app out there for Instagram where you can actually view people's photos every second from one city to the next.
Really?
Now think about that for a second. So you go to Tokyo, and every second there's a new photo up, and they'll go, dude. The next one. I mean, it makes it even easier for stalkers who do use Facebook.
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, it's insane. I mean, you just look at all these photos go by, and it's fascinating to watch for a minute. But then you're like, wait a minute. I mean, to be on Instagram, you have to sign up, you have to log in, you have to be a member. But this site, I guess, sort of bypasses that.
Wow. Oh, yeah, just another step into the bold future of the 21st century. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean it's to me it's like I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it seems like it would violate some rules for starters, because you have to be, you know, usually with Instagram you have to be sent a link to it.
Right.
And this one doesn't have a link. So, I mean, you can see, like, and here's the thing about it.
But isn't Instagram all Facebooked up? Isn't that another thing not to...
yes and no. I'd say most people think that Instagram is a safe application.
Benign?
Yeah.
If it's happening on Facebook, it ain't benign. I'm just going to say this here, because you kind of opened the door for me, David.
Yeah.
I'm getting, and I get them from people I like, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm getting so damn tired of being sent requests in Farmville and Cityville that I could just spit. I'm just tired of it. I mean, because I try to keep up the Facebook. You know, we you know, this is an internet radio operation, so it's on the internet, so it sort of behooves me to keep in contact as many ways as I possibly can. One of those is Facebook.
Uh-huh.
I generally don't put. Really, really, I put news stories up and observations and such like. I'm really, really, really sick of trying to sort through all the requests I've gotten in Farmville and Cityville.
Yeah.
Just to get at the real communications that people have sent, saying, you know, comments and stuff, because I interact on my Facebook page. But God almighty.
You know, Bob, the next level of spam, I just witnessed it. I was perusing through some adult material, let's say that, and there was this pop-up window that popped up, and it was a spam window. And it said, like, hi, sweetie, how are you? And I didn't answer, and it responded back to me, what are you, a homo?
You're kidding.
No. I'm not kidding. So I wanted to test it. I was like, this is interesting because I wonder if this is just like an automatic bot or they've taken it to the next level and they switched the names. I backspaced the browser. I went back to it. That ad comes up again with a different name and a different stock, the same stock photo. And so I said, okay, this is interesting now. So I started messaging. I said, you know, it's interesting to me. It's very peculiar to me, the fact that you have the same stock photo as the one before. And then I got back this, really?
Yeah.
But here's the crazy thing about it. It's like, it's automatic. It's like interactive spam with interactive messaging, and at the same time, they like shut off the communications like after like 10 seconds, so they try to make people sign up to their website. So, you know, talking about what you're talking about, spam, that kind of hits it home for me how intrusive the level of spam is becoming.
Dear God. Well, that's like, and
what are you on?
Well, no, in the world of the internet now, David, I don't know what's paranoia and what's just really kick-ass algorithms.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's weird because I did the story about Grant mentioned Osborne a little bit ago. I did the story he told me about the guy who was out there buying all of his followers on Twitter. And I said, well, Jesus, I didn't even know you could do that.
Right.
And then a couple of days later, I did the story about it turns out that Romney bought his likes from India, and so did the Faces of Coal or American Coal Clean Energy Security Coalition of America, by God Bless America, Stand Up and Salute You Bastards organization.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, I've probably had a dozen. Hey, Bob, you want to buy some followers on Twitter spams?
Right.
And, you know, I just go and, you know, report spam, boom, done. I hope I haven't done that to anybody who was actually a listener and was just joshing me, but no, I'll just bang, there it is. You want to buy, hey, kid, you want to, yeah, we've moved from, you want to buy a watch to, Yeah. Do you want to buy some Twitter followers? You want to buy some Facebook followers?
Buy some World of Warcraft gold? Got some gold.
Oh, Jesus.
looking at that and then looking at the Mitt Romney and Ryan, to me, is surreal. But what I'll say about that, and this is why people should pay attention to, I don't think the Republicans sat around a table with all the time that they have on their hands, because they don't really have to call that much for donations. It just automatically comes to them because people are so gullible to this party. It's amazing. They're so gullible to the GOP. I don't think I'll ever witness anything on this world as the gullibility of GOP donors. It's the king, Bob. All you have to do is go to Free Republic, and they get $80,000 donated every 2 months or something.
Oh, the money poured in after the announcement of Paul Ryan.
Right.
And from whom?
And see, here's the thing that people don't understand about Paul Ryan. This guy has been constantly busy on the talk radio airwaves. They give him these like 5-minute or 6-minute pieces every week. He's someplace different. And God knows how many interviews he does. So what I'm getting at is the fact that they've juiced up the base like you wouldn't believe. They juiced it up with this A.N. Ryan. it is very close to Rand, by the way.
Yes.
But anyways, when you look at somebody like that, and then here's the other thing that people need to
That's
understand.
Very good though, A.N. Ryan.
Yeah. Well, you know the interesting thing about this though is that who picked him? Who made him this hero? Who made him this star? why it was the talk radio and the powers that be that made him.
And the for-profit media, don't they? Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So here's the next step, the next step of evolution regarding this thinking. So they picked him, but does it benefit? Bob, does it benefit the right wing to have somebody like Ryan in office?
Well, I think that's the essence of the inquiry that Sandra was making. She's a little flummoxed by it all. Are they serious? Really? This is their answer? Because one of the things I didn't mention, but one of the first things I thought of is, I will be so tuned in. Even though they're not debates, they're pageants, as we all understand.
Right.
I mean, I will have three monitors going at once. It's going to be like one of those men's store mirrors where you can look at the drape of the back of your suit. I'll have three monitors going at once to watch the debate between Joe Biden and Eddie Munster. I really will.
You'll have to do commentary on that while it's going on. The thing about it, though, is this, is that it doesn't benefit it doesn't benefit the right-wing talk radio machine to have people like this in office. They secretly like Obama, because somebody like Obama just completely cranks up their ratings when you have somebody like that in office.
Yeah.
A black candidate. I mean, don't you think that they want 4 more years of that?
Oh, you're being very cynical, David.
I mean, that's the way I look at it, and that's one of the reasons why I think they made Paul Ryan a star, because they know he is so blunt and so to the point of what he wants in this world, which is just complete.
Well, you know, I've been thinking a lot about. Because I think it's a legitimate point to make that Paul Ryan got money from Social Security that he used to help put him through college, and then turns around and starts stabbing Social Security in the back. You know, but because it's all tied up inside the death of his father, it's a tough one to make. But if anybody can make that point and really, really drive it in and twist it and break it off, I'm guessing it's Joe Biden. So, you know, just jot down a note to watch for that one. I mean, that could be the "you're no Jack Kennedy" of this debate. Of course, you know, we remember that Bush idiot Quayle won that election, but
well, I'll tell you what, I think that the whole thing with Paul Ryan and the fact that they've raised him to this level, and they've soundbited him to death on the whole right-wing Radio Rwanda machine. I don't think it spells good for Ryan's future as a vice president candidate. Maybe as a presidential candidate. But I don't know about that, because I'm thinking about all the people that are in the running, like Chris Christie, Rand Paul, Jeb Bush,
and there's a lot of them, and so, you know, Chris Christie did the thing. He stepped up when nobody else would. No, well, not nobody else, but when he stepped up and said nice things about Willard. So he's a team player. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
And you know, he's praised by the for-profit media for being a plain talker. He's not a plain talker. He's just effing rude.
Right.
And I don't know how, apparently it plays in Jersey. He got elected. But that shit will not play in Alabama, Stan.
You know, just an interesting note. I was talking to my dad, and he took some of these political tests regarding where he falls on the scale.
Oh, that's fascinating. I love that thing.
Yeah, so he took two of them, and he came up as highly liberal, even though he considers himself a Republican independent. So that makes you realize how far off the reservations the Republicans have gone.
Well, they're controlled by a very noisy reactionary minority. You know, if only we could get the Democratic Party to do the same thing. You know, but instead we're gonna the one thing that scares me, David, is that we're going to talk within the framework of Republican memes when they say things like Social Security is going broke.
Right, right.
I'm afraid the Democrats will say, well, it won't if we fix it. Instead of, you filthy effing liar, no, it's not. You know, the stuff that...
It almost seems like they don't do that because that's a lot of research of the numbers and statistics.
Well, no, we've had it for years. We know that Social Security is financially sound up into the 2030s, and that if we merely tweak it by, say, for instance, lifting the cap, it is sound forevermore. Not to mention the fact that Benedict is probably typing in the chat room even as I speak, that none of that even really matters as long as Congress says there shall be, because it's a fiat currency. So I get it, but maybe what we're dealing with is the fact that Obama is a better campaigner than he is. Oh, I better not say that. But no, David Axelrod and that crowd, they're some mean sumbitches. And I'm sure I'll get email. I'm sorry for the use of the word. They're mean.
Right.
And they will, you know, they will not take this lying down, I don't think. So I'm hoping that they burn Paul Ryan's butt early and often. And for everybody who wants to send me an email telling me that, you know, I'm caught up in the horse race, of course I'm caught up in the horse race. But the fact of the matter is, I Want a Pony is not running for president. We've got Romney and we've got Obama. And we've got some other good people who are out there running in third parties and so forth. But in the system we have, they ain't gonna win.
And, you know, chances are we're going to hate the choices even worse the next time. Because we sort of, and I know a lot of people are going to hate me for saying this, we got lucky sort of with Obama.
Well, I mean, how old will Hillary be in 16? You know, here it is. We haven't had the election in 12 yet, and we're talking about 16. Isn't this just pitiful, David? And I don't mean on your part. I mean on mine.
Right, right, right. And with the issues that concerning our country, our world, the fact that this takes up all of the oxygen in the room constantly, day after day, year after year, it doesn't bode well for the future of this for this country.
No, that's the discussion about how do we fix the broken electoral system. But I always say that before you can have the discussion about how we fix the broken electoral system, you have to have a conversation about how do we stop being an empire.
Right, and that goes back to having more voices and continuing to have discussion and conversation to keep up the groundswell, which is what we're doing here on the Horn.
I hope we are. I sincerely hope we are.
Well, you know, when you look around and you look at the discussion that's happening online and how people are interacting and everything that's happening right now, it is a slow moving train, but it is a start that we all must engage in, and we can't just. I'm probably not going to like anyone that's going to be for a presidential candidate or the nominee for a long time to come, but I understand that the vacuum is there. That's what liberals and progressives need to understand. The vacuum will always be there no matter who you don't like. You have to avoid that vacuum. Otherwise, we're going to have another situation where we do with the Tea Party.
Oh, God. Yeah, and of course, you know, this came in a little bit ago from Jay down in Yuma.
Yeah.
When Sandra said the fix is in, or questioned whether the fix is in, Jay said Sandra's first words were, unless the fix is in. He said, that is the sum total of the situation. I fear that the fix is in. And it's a lot easier to fix if it's a 51-49 situation than if it's a 56-44.
Well, you know, one last thing before I go, this makes you ponder something. How do we know that the fix wasn't in for the Ryan race in a majorly Democratic district?
Well, it kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Very much so. By the way, both you and Ron and Raleigh found the video of the Eric Idle piece, so I appreciate you both.
Ron said, I may not read the entire internet every day, but by God, if it's on the tubes, I'll find it. And
yeah. But before I go, I would like to, I just gave you a link to that Sikhs versus Sheikhs.
Yes.
The William Kamau Bell, totally biased. I just caught the premiere episode. It looks like it's pretty good. He had Chris Rock in the last 5 minutes. It was a good mixture of politics and culture. And he really, when you listen to that, if people get a chance to listen to it, just type in Kamau Bell, Sikhs versus Sheikhs.
Yeah, K-A-M-A-U.
Probably the best thing to do is type in totally biased and then type in Sikhs versus Sheikhs. And very, very well done presentation on explaining the differences of how we are all different, and then at the same time how we're all alike. So
cool.
I would definitely check that out.
Very cool. Well, thanks a lot, David, and have yourself a wonderful evening. And well, we won't be talking until next week, but
well, have a nice trip, Bob, and I hope you get lots of work done and everything.
Yeah, and thanks to you and others for all the help setting things up with Sam.
Oh, no problem.
That again will come on. You know, with the Ryan announcement, we pushed it to tomorrow because, well, the Ryan thing kind of sucks all the air out of the room.
This definitely opens the doors for other radio hosts. Just so anyone's listening, anyone can do this. Just write to any radio host that comes to your mind right now, any blogger. Just do it, and you'll be happy you did it, and you might be surprised with the response you get.
Absolutely. Thank you, David. Have a good evening.
All right, Bob. Later.
All right. Bye now. A couple of open lines yet remaining, and we will go to the remainder of the phone calls when we take a little after we take a little break, because a little break is called for. Sandra mentioned something during her call, and there's never a bad time for playing Nina Simone. This, of course, the classic Mississippi Goddamn, described as a show tune, but the show hasn't been written for it yet, from 1964. Thanks for the kind contribution that rolled in. We could use a lot more like it. Thank you very much. And I'm just doing this because I'm not going to be able to say anything for, you know, another week, and by then we'll be in a real deep hole. Thank you for all you do to make to keep this going. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
The name of this tune is Mississippi Goddamn. And I mean every word of it. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi Goddamn. Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi Goddamn. Can't you see it? Can't you feel it? It's all in the air. I can't stand the pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama's gotten me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi Goddamn. This is a show tune, but the show hasn't been written for it yet. Hound dogs on my trail, school children sitting in jail, black cat cross my path, I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on this land of mine, we all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there, I've even stopped believing in prayer. Don't tell me, I'll tell you, me and my people just about do. I've been there so I know, keep on saying, go slow. But that's
always kidding you. Picket lines, school boycotts, they try to say it's a communist plot. All I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people and me. Yes, you lied to me all these years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine just like a lady. And you'd stop calling me Sister Sadie. Oh, this whole country is full of lies. You are gonna die and die like flies. I don't trust you anymore. You keep on saying, go slow. Go slow. But that's just the trouble. Desegregation. Mass participation. Unification.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182. 82.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Yes, indeed. 3 minutes past the hour. About 55 minutes of conversation left in the program this evening. And I, before I do jump back to the phones, I want to just point out something to you. I also played that Nina Simone classic because it's an opportunity to remind you, sort of, just how far ahead of the curve you are when you hang out here at the Horn. It was when I came back from... And I had tweeted it during my absence, but it's when I came back from my big run down south and where I got to hang out with some amazing folks down in Selma, Alabama. I heard a phrase, and I, like I said, I mentioned it on Twitter, and I think I mentioned it on air, but that's when the derecho hit, so I'm not sure. That may not have made the list. But... the school, how's this for an Orwellian hair-raising phrase? The school to prison pipeline. Well, lo and behold, a post over at Think Progress today. Mississippi schools, Mississippi schools sending kids to prison for misbehaving in the classroom. It turns out that something that's been complained about by civil rights activists and community rights activists and justice activists for quite some time is really, really real.
as of today, the Department of Justice announcing that it has confirmed the existence of a school-to-prison pipeline in Mississippi, where teachers and principals literally ship off school children into the criminal justice system, you know, to alternate things like alternative schools or camps, where it turns out that these kids are walking around with manacles on and shackled one person to another. And they do it for things as minuscule as a violation of dress code. Meridian, Mississippi, singled out. Of course, Meridian, Mississippi tends to send black and disabled students in greater proportion than any others to prison for little discipline problems. ABC reporting, the DOJ claims that the schools are violating the 4th and 14th Amendments. Here's the takeaway. The system established by the city of Meridian, Lauderdale County, Mississippi, and DYS, Department of Youth Services, to incarcerate children for school suspensions shocks the conscience, resulting in the incarceration of children for alleged offenses such as dress code violations, flatulence. No, really. There are children in Mississippi being sent to prison for farting. Flatulence. The average human being passes gas about 13 times a day. All of us. Dress code violations, flatulence, profanity, and disrespect. This from the Justice Department. The systematic disregard for children's basic constitutional rights by agencies with a duty to protect and serve these children betrays the public trust. That from Thomas E. Perez, Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division. We hope to resolve the concerns outlined in our findings in a collaborative fashion, but we will not hesitate to take appropriate legal action if necessary. It's been going on for quite some time now. Mississippi, goddamn. To the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello.
This is Edward.
Well, hey, Edward, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Glad to hear it.
Well, anyway, I was listening to you and Sandra and talking about Longview.
Uh-huh.
Longview is in East Texas, and East Texas still think they won the Civil War.
Oh, dear God. Is it somewhere down around Houston or something?
Oh, no, no. It's east of Dallas.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, that's called East Texas.
All right.
Down in the Piney Woods, yes. And the stuff down at A&M, I can't understand that at all, because I have friends who graduated from there. It's a good school. Somebody's shooting the place up again?
Apparently, yes.
Yes, I'm... Well...
But I think what we have to take away from this is that it could have been Bryan, it could have been College Station, but it could just as easily have been any other state and any other place in the Union, because our gun fascination, our gun fetish is so sick and so profound that it has rendered no place in this country safe from these legally purchased guns. And their owners.
And I grew up around guns in North Carolina. We had rifles, we had shotguns, we didn't have any pistols because you didn't go hunting with a pistol. And I didn't dare touch my granddaddy's Ivor Johnson 12-gauge shotgun. I mean, nigh unto death. You didn't touch those things. And they were only used for hunting. What the hell is going on in this country?
Well, again, Edward, it is by design. This is not an accident. This is the direct result of years, decades even, of agitation by the National Rifle Association to arm this country to the teeth, and secondarily, to get certain segments of this population, mostly ill-educated and white and male,
mm-hmm.
whipped into a frenzy.
Well, see, down in Longview, that's close to where they dragged this black man behind a pickup truck and dragged him to death.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep.
Well, you're getting an amen from the congregation. Dr. John just wrote in. Apparently, that's kind of his stomping grounds, too. Dr. John says, Edward is spot on when he says East Tex thinks it won the late war. You don't want, he says, you don't want to get anywhere near the Piney Woods region.
And my partner and I one time years ago went down there and camped out in one of the parks there, and we weren't murdered, thank God.
And you came home and counted your blessings.
You're telling me. Absolutely. Anyway, the first time I ever called your program, I said, for the first time in this country, I am afraid in my own country. And I didn't know exactly what I was afraid of, but now I do. And I have used this phrase from a movie. They're here.
Yes, they are. And the problem is, it's hard to spot them. That's why I keep using that old hook line from some science fiction movie. They walk among us.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's creepy enough to see some guy at the local Rippy Mart who had, and I go back to this image again and again because I've really seen it more times than I care to mention. It's weird enough to walk in and see a guy with a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter and a 44 Magnum Dirty Harry Peacemaker Special strapped to his leg.
I don't even want to go to the grocery store anymore, to a movie theater or anything. And thank God I went through college years ago. When I went to college, I could walk across campus at 2 o'clock in the morning and be unafraid. And I was a fine arts major and a keyboard major, a piano and pipe organ. And my practice time on the pipe organ was rather late because it was in this old building that had classes in it. And if you turned that whole thing on that pipe organ, it would blow your hair off. So you had to wait till late. And my practice time there was from 12 o'clock midnight until 2 a.m.
Wow.
That's why I was in college, yes.
Well, you could probably open the windows and get some pretty creepy Bach blowing out of there at 2 o'clock in the morning. The atmospherics must have been magnificent, Edward.
They were absolutely wonderful. What I was trying to do was memorize everything I had to play for my senior recital. Oh, well. Oh, I wanted to tell you one thing. During the Olympics, they did the John Lennon song, There Is No Heaven, There Is No Hell.
Oh, yeah, Imagine.
Imagine, yes. That was Madeline Murray O'Hare's theme song on her radio program or TV program here in Texas years ago. And one time I attended the American AIDS Convention in Austin, and my partner was a member. I wasn't. And so he went into the 8 o'clock breakfast meeting. I couldn't go. So I went into the restaurant there in the hotel. And one of those, you know, back then when they made all the funny things like different levels and all that stuff. And so I was sitting there and I looked over and I saw Madeline Murray O'Hare sitting over there. And all of a sudden this shadow crossed my plate and I looked up and there she was. And she says, I see you're attending the convention. I said, yes, ma'am. She says, you're not a member. I said, no, ma'am. Are you going to join? Yes, ma'am, before I leave. This is good. And I looked at her and I said, Ms. O'Hare, I've seen you on television all my life. And she just laughed, and that great big booming laugh of hers, and said, well, here I am on the hoof. And I also heard her talking with this fella, John Henry Falk, who, he was a storyteller and had this Texas accent and on the radio, and he was very beloved in people in New York. They thought it was very funny and everything, and all of a sudden he was blacklisted. And he sued them and won. And then they slithered back under the wet rock that they slithered out from. He didn't get a dime from it. But anyway, I heard them talking one day, and he said to Madeline, Madeline, I'm not going to argue with you, but would you do me one big favor? She says, what's that? And he says, the next time you're talking to reporters, please do not refer to Ronald Reagan as the only president you've ever known with shit for brains.
Delightful.
Oh, well. And now I will let you go with all my carryings on. But well, I tell you, I wonder what's happening. And I'm not a young person at all. But I'm glad that I got through it when I was young, because I'm very afraid for our young people now. Very afraid.
I am too, Edward. More than perhaps I give voice to. I talk about our family a good bit here. We've got my eldest now has children of her own, three of them. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. Two little boys and a little girl. Little girl starting kindergarten. And I'm scared for them, and I'm scared for our kids, her and her young husband. I'm scared for our teenagers. And all you can do is try to give them all the information they need and hope they'll make the right decisions. And it's
yeah. And as Malloy says, watch their back.
Exactly. Well, Edward, it is awfully good hearing from you. I thank you very much for calling, and I look forward to the next time we talk.
Thank you very much, and you and your family, take care.
Thanks, Edward. You take care as well, and our best to your partner.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Edward calling from Texas. Now, I really do. I appreciate the little geography lessons. The piney woods. I'll not soon forget that. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, sir.
How are you, Jim?
Okay, for Monday.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, absolutely. First, my compliments to Grant. I hope he has a good evening.
I do too. I'm downright jealous.
As I said before, alcohol can do more than Milton can to justify the ways of God to man. That's for damn sure.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear.
And, you know, the opening thing about the fix being in, to me, that is the absolute sum of all fears.
But it's way past any sort of parlor game paranoia, isn't it, Jim?
Well past that. I mean, the numbers are being crunched, and you know they're well prepared. There's no question about that.
Well, it's I think Sandra's reference to it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who counts the votes, has to be taken into consideration in this scenario.
Well, I mean, it worked for Stalin twice. It certainly will
work. Well, it worked for George in 2000, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, it certainly did. That was just an absolute horror show.
And you can make the argument that it worked for him again in 2004. They just changed the scene of the crime from Florida to Ohio.
Yeah, it's just amazing how they can easily manipulate with Diebold or whomever. Who determines he's going to be the leader of the free world? And
to say that in the same breath as Willard Romney gives me the blind shivers.
Yeah, it is a reassuring thing, is it, Bob?
Well, I don't know if you got to catch any of the PRISM stuff. But the lecture that was delivered by Jeremy Suri via Skype on Friday was very, very informative. And one of the things that he said is if there's a lesson to be learned, it is that the only time American foreign policy succeeds is when we do it as a member of a group. When we go it alone, you know, and it doesn't always succeed when we do it as a member of a group. But we always fail when we go it alone. And, you know, for instance,
saying that as a group we're going to bomb the bejesus out of Iran, that's a loser out of the gate. But we have this ugly habit, Jim, of thinking that that we can blast our way to democracy. And I don't know where they got the idea. I have a copy of Dr. Suri's book now, and I intend to read it, and maybe I'll have a better idea then. But his thesis is that we've been nation building from the very beginning, and that we have a pretty vast record of both success of, well, a record of more failures than successes.
Well, you don't nation build by using bombs.
Precisely. Today in the closing sessions of the PRISM series, we had a reenactment presentation by a brilliant lady from around here by the name of Karen Varanch, who did a presentation on Pearl S. Buck. And what a fascinating! I know much more about her now than I did before, Jim. Among other things, A, that she became very fast friends with Eleanor Roosevelt.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that having been raised in China, she was acquainted with Wild Bill Donovan. She was the go-to for understanding China at the outset of the Second World War.
Absolutely. She was born in West Virginia. She went there as a missionary with her parents. And
she spoke Chinese before she spoke English?
Yes, she did. Yeah, I'm quite familiar. My mother was a devotee of Pearl S. Buck.
Well, one of the things that she did, and it earned her a lot of whispering during the McCarthy era of, you know, she's a commie.
Oh, I know.
Was the fact that she kept warning people about our failure to deal with, and I don't mean by bombing him, our failure to deal with Mao Zedong. And oddly enough, at the same time, you know, we were talking about Barbara Tuchman the other night. She wrote a brilliant Pulitzer Prize-winning book called Stilwell and the American Experience in China. And General Joseph Stilwell was saying the same things to the American government, and he wound up getting sacked and treated like crap, but both of them turned out to have been right. And lo and behold, the United States' racist-based refusal to deal with the reality of Mao Zedong was one of those monumental failures that Dr. Suri mentioned.
Well, Vinegar Joe certainly had a number of things to say about that.
Well, he ran up against Chiang Kai-shek. I've actually read Ms. Tuchman's book. He ran up against Chiang Kai-shek and realized that he was dealing with a monster.
Effectively, he was. Absolutely.
And that certainly Chiang Kai-shek was no entree into democracy for the Chinese people.
No, he wasn't. As a matter of fact, I believe he first received his initial training. He had contact with a Russian named Borodin.
Yes.
And, you know, you've read the book. We didn't go into all that. But Chiang Kai-shek and the Nationalists, they had certain contacts with the Soviet Union back in the 30s. And what frightened me about Mao was the kind who said, well, you know, we have X number of million people. If we lose so many of those, we still got those left, and so there was very little regard, you know, for human life there, or anything.
A very brutal and rudimentary mathematics.
Yeah, and of course the big problem between even Mao and the successors of Stalin was Mao began to, and they were having conflicts over the Amu River and things like that, and the Treaty of Nerchinsk going back to 1689 as to whose territory was whom. But, you know, they were referring to the Soviets as revisionists and departed from the faith of communism. And they did not exactly enjoy a honeymoon relationship, those two nations.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Just changing here, going to the Olympics and Eric Idle. When you see that, you're not going to believe it.
Well, I look forward to it. I'm going to watch it the minute the show closes. I need a good giggle.
Well, you'll get it because I don't want to steal any thunder from that. But when I saw this guy being shot out of a cannon.
Do what?
He was shot out of a cannon onto a net, and he was wearing white leotards, over which there was some type of futuristic Bermuda shorts, like a space band. And I thought to myself, what in the is this? I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, my Lord. And then they had all these nuns and these wimples that were very much redolent of a geometric thing, and I don't know if I remember my eighth grade geometry that well, but hexagonal dicosahedron wimples.
Oh, you're past my recollection of Euclid.
Well, my God, I mean, I thought to myself, who in the world is designing this thing or this whole program? I mean, it really looked like a, and I said this before, a bad Ken Russell nightmare.
Wow.
Really did. I was so disappointed in that. And, of course, you know, they did have John Lennon Imagine, which was very good, and they had several other artists there. Ironically enough, Freddie Mercury.
Oh, I was going to say, the hologram of Freddie Mercury's got to be, wow.
But, you know, what I thought was very disappointing to me is, and, of course, these people definitely played that part on the stage, the British musical scene. But what I was very disappointed in, the fact, was that they made no reference to Princess Diana.
Well, maybe they wanted to keep it upbeat.
Well, maybe so. But I think they had enough things in there that were redolent of downbeat. I mean, from the very first thing, when they have Kenneth Branagh as a British industrialist with a big cigar in his mouth, and then they had this some guy trying to imitate Winston Churchill, and I can do a better Winston Churchill than this guy did, even though he was in the King's Speech. You know, I thought to myself, if you could talk about the people's apprentice and their son sitting there in the audience, or at least Harry there, I mean, I would think that it would be a lot more appropriate than some of the stuff that was done there. I mean, they did their best, I guess, but, I mean, the fellow who designed this whole thing from start to finish, in my humble opinion, it could have been so much better. Could have been so much better, but it was just, the whole thing was just bizarre. And your friend Bob Costas was there, looking better than usual. I think Bob had had some type of hair job done or something like that, but, you know.
They're doing that on Savile Row now, too?
Well, I'm sure they have some tonsorial place where you can get that done. But he looked very well turned out. He really did. I mean, considering what he had looked like before. But nonetheless, I was just disappointed that they could not make reference to. I'm surprised they didn't have Elton John at the end, but they did, I think, at the opening ceremony. But, you know, if he had been able to do Goodbye England's Rose, because I think that would have been a very sobering thing, but yet one that remembered a person who was extremely important in her age. I've always had a love affair with her, and I've always, you know, felt so sorry for the way that she was treated by the royal family and the way the thing was conducted. But nonetheless, that's just my personal opinion. But we have more things to worry about than the memory of Princess Diana, God rest her soul, and this business of the Republicans and Ryan. I mean, I remember that soap back in the 1980s called Ryan's Hope.
Oh, God, yes.
Well, this is going to be Ryan's Rope, in which he's going to try to hang everything he possibly can. And I want to ask you something. What kind of job did this guy do before he got into politics? Because I was listening to the local idiot who said that Ryan has a totally complete successful business, and if he left politics, would not have to worry about earning another dime. Can you tell me what type of business?
I have no idea. The only reference I've seen to him working in the much vaunted private sector is as a
waiter.
He waited tables at Tortilla Coast.
Okay.
And he drove the Wiener Mobile
pitching Oscar Mayer products somewhere around his home in Wisconsin at one point. And well, I think he may have worked briefly as a model.
He may have. I mean, he is an attractive fellow. I mean, he's not a bad.
Well, if you go in for Widow's Peaks and stuff.
Well, that's just his hairline and stuff like that. But I mean, you know, he is a Frankenstein, and he would have a certain amount of appeal to people as far as his visual element is concerned. But you know, I just wondered exactly what the hell he did. I mean, for damn sure, he's no Ashton Kutcher, that's for damn sure. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this man has his entire economic plan just stapled right to his forehead. And he's going to do everything he can to undermine any type of social net, if he possibly can, to effect the ends of that plan. And Romney's going to be there right along with him. You know, I knew it was either one or two R's, either Rubio or Romney. I mean, Rubio or Ryan.
RR, Railroading America.
Yeah, we got the three R's.
And maybe Rolls Royce. You know what they drive when they're slumming.
I guess so, but I mean, this man to me is extremely dangerous, and I don't discount anything from that particular end of the political spectrum, the Republicans, during the upcoming months. I mean, they are literally going to be like baboons inside of a cage, and they're going to be throwing shit everywhere they possibly can. I'll just go ahead and say it, because that's exactly what it's going to be. In my opinion, it's going to be one of the worst crap-flinging contests we've ever had. And no wonder people are trying to look beyond 12 and go to 16. I mean, it's just, I mean, it just doesn't forebode well. And I hope that perhaps someone like Ryan and what he said and what he's done may contain within his philosophy the seeds of his own self-destruction. But I don't know. But I hope Obama's going to have the courage and the balls to do what you said earlier, to just say, look, you're not trying to fix anything. You're trying to destroy it. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. I mean, they made it real plain simple. They haven't been obtuse about that, do you think?
No. No, and that's what's going to make it... How do they even begin to deal with the realities of the Ryan budget? They can't get away from it. Oh, by the way, Sandra filling in the gaps here. Paul Ryan has a rich wife. His wife's family business is, and Sandra says, wait for it, fracking in Oklahoma. So there's the very successful business, Jim.
Oh, I see.
Poisoning other people's water.
That's what they were talking about. Well, I was wondering, you know, what his business was, and thanks Sandra for that information.
Isaac telling me that he, in 1997, he returned to Wisconsin and worked for his relative's construction company, Ryan Incorporated Central, as a marketing consultant for a year as well. This guy has never meaningfully had his front trotters out of the public trough and has spent his life trying to get the rear ones in there with it. If you've ever watched a hog do that, it ain't a pretty sight, Jim.
Oh, thankfully I haven't, but I'll take your word for it, my friend. I will. And there it is, and there you have it. I mean, he's been in the fracking business, and, of course, they were going about being a fifth-generation Wisconsinite or Wisconsin, I don't know, they were saying some type of crazy thing, and at that point I just shut the radio off because I can't take any more of this. And that man is, Bob, he's serious.
Yeah, he's serious. He means to be the absolute pinnacle of the right wing's desire to take every last damn thing we've got. Because it's driving them crazy, Jim. We need to understand that. It is driving them absolutely crazy that the public might have anything left of the public good. I mean, look at his Medicare voucher program. He's gonna eliminate Medicare and instead give vouchers to our seniors that they can then use to pay not all of, but merely a portion of their health care coverage in their golden years.
Yeah, Medicare goes 80%, and your private insurance, if you have it, goes 20, right?
Right, your Part A and your Part B, and your right. But the thing is that there is no more stark example of what the right wing are all about. There is Medicare, and instead of paying doctors directly, they want to do a full-on reverse Robin Hood wealth transfer from the public commons to the healthcare corporations. It's Robin Hood in reverse. It's a looting of the public weal. And the thing, like I said at the beginning of the program, Jim, the thing that just scares the piss out of me is that there are some several tens of millions of Americans who'll go, yeah, do that to me. I mean, it couldn't be any more clear if it was Kevin Bacon saying, thank you, sir, may I have another in Animal House.
I know. I mean, that's the thing that I can't understand why people could even begin to support that. Of course, what they would like to do is to, as quickly as possible, eliminate the older generation, get them out of the way, and then, of course, deal with the younger generation and make them...
Right, and there's an element, of course, of class divisiveness in this, because what they will say, I guarantee it, they will say to the current recipients of Medicare, well, don't you worry. We're not touching yours. We're just going to do them, and thereby hope to divide and conquer and create class division between current recipients versus future recipients.
Right, and make the current recipients the object of ridicule and degradation by the ones who are so-called having to pay for it, and then they're going to move up to the next step. I mean, all this stuff has been repeated in history. It was repeated in Germany in the 30s. It was repeated in so many other situations in which gradual encroachment and ultimate destruction.
You know, I read a quote from it was some sort of craftsman in the 14th century in France who said, and it was during one of the uprisings against the 14th century's answer to the 1%. He said, "Eventually, if they can, they will take from us the very light of day." And I was struck by that, Jim.
I can't remember that guy's name, but I know who you're talking about, and I can't remember it for a gander.
And his words were praised by the pro-populist clergy of the time. But it struck me, you know, my God, this has been going on for that long, and the great mass of struggling humanity has still not clued into it, and these thugs, these economic thugs, continue to rise up to plague us, Jim, since the 14th freaking century?
Oh, Bob, you know, history is a great teacher, and man is such a poor learner. And one other thing you mentioned earlier tonight that kind of blew my mind, just moving on, this business about sending from school to prison.
Yes.
Not school to work, but school to prison.
The school to prison pipeline. It's very real.
And for things like dress code and flatulence.
Yes, sir. If there was any doubt of it, it would probably take me a couple of days to do it, but I could get you folks on this program who could tell you firsthand accounts of what the school to prison pipeline is all about.
Lord, Bob, I wish they could have done that to Hitler, because he in his life suffered from meteorism, which was uncontrollable farting.
I'll be damned.
He did, yeah. As a matter of fact, he had to take these pills called Dr. Cursor's anti-gas pills, and when he didn't take them, it said that people who were having meetings with him could barely breathe in the room. It was just so bad. But I'm not trying to make fun of that or make light of that.
No, no, no. I understand, but you know, my God.
I mean, what is the rationale behind something like that?
Well, understand, Jim, it is disproportionately applied to the to persons of color and the disabled. So they are disappeared from the school system. So therefore, what they're doing is eliminating potential negative results on standardized testing, and it is a way of resegregating the schools without actually having segregation.
In other words, basically they're going to treat people whom they don't like because of their color or because of their physical disposition into the realms of being Untermensch.
Precisely.
They're going to pull up the gas vans and plan the camps with the...
Yeah, and ultimately, once you've gotten these kids out of the educational system and into these, and understand that the prisons we're talking about are run by for-profit industries. These are not necessarily elements of the state of Mississippi. They are corporate entities, and they have beds that have to be filled. And so this is a way to fill the beds. And once you've gotten the kids out of the educational system, you have basically condemned them to a life of poverty and misery, which means that odds are they will die more quickly. There are elements of very deliberate conduct here that have terminal results, and they know they're terminal, and that is damned well the intent, Jim.
Well, you know, when you said this earlier, I thought to myself of the term terminal learning objective, and that's exactly what they want to have. And as far as prisons are concerned, they're nothing more than graduate schools for higher and worse crime for the ones who are paroled or who get out. That's exactly what they are. They're schools to teach people who are not that bad into being worse.
Yeah, and I mean it's like the jackass in near Longview, Texas, who didn't want a person of color handling my food. I got an email a little bit ago from Robert down in Australia, and he said, "How many people are there between the farm and the store?" He said, "How many people handle the food that you buy on any given day? I wonder if any of that has occurred to this goon." But no, he wanted to be out and about with his racism and his bigotry, and the grocery store was where he decided to do it.
Well, what better platform could he have to try to make people start? You know, I don't know. This is just all beyond me. I thought I had seen some wild things in my life and interesting stuff that I've read and films I've seen and theories that I've discovered and studied, but this is just going all beyond the board into anything that is, it's the horror, and it is a horror.
Yes, it is. And it's not, and I know maybe I'm beginning to sound like a broken record, and I apologize if I am.
No,
it is not a function of accident. These are deliberate, planned events.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've been playing with economic and strategic precision. I mean, I've seen some of this stuff done, and I've seen how, you know, they do it by, first they start with this step, and then they change the law, and then they change the law, and then, of course, you get into a certain terminal learning situation in which people are being literally placed into cattle cars and shipped away to be nameless numbers a list that will be deliberately and carelessly mislaid.
And bear in mind that this is happening in a state where you cannot run for public office, Jim,
without brooding about your family values bona fides. Well, whose family, Jim?
Well,
and what values?
I mean, you know, like, you know, I've met people in my life that have charm, and I've met people in my life to whom I consider to have counter charm. And these people are not possessed of family values. They are possessed of counter family values. And they dress it up in a very thin veneer.
Well, that's the point. They just can't get away with saying white family values, bigoted family values, white citizens council family values, Klan family values. But that, whether it's Alabama Stan or Mississippi Stan or Louisiana Stan, that's what it is.
Well, this whole thing, in my opinion, and I'm going to let you go here because I know you have other people that want to talk to you, but it is a definite, it's a disease. And it's just as dangerous as any disease that has been identified by the CDC, except it's a social disease. It's a mental disease, not a physical disease. And there is no planned antidote for it. Or no planned treatment, no bomb in Gilead whatsoever.
None whatsoever. You're absolutely right, Jim.
Have a good evening, my friend.
You too. You too. We'll talk soon.
Hopefully. Have a good trip.
Thanks. Bye now. Yeah, just a reminder, I will be gone during the remainder of this week, so that's where we find ourselves. Whose family? What values? And yet at the same time, I've got this, and it really does, it makes me want to scream. This article by Joshua Holland over at Alternet, is it time to finally let the South secede? And the argument being presented by the author being interviewed in that article is, yes, it is. And he says, well, you know, we'll have a 20-year period where people who feel like they'd be uncomfortable in the South can go to the North, and vice versa. You know what? Bullshit. I hate this kind of stuff. I despise it. How are you gonna make it possible for somebody living from day to day to get from Mississippi Stan to Massachusetts or Wisconsin? How's that gonna happen? Or will we just abandon a certain number of people to the tender mercies of the family values crowd and their school to prison pipeline? God Almighty, I hate this stuff. I mean, I read that a couple of days ago, and I just, Jesus, really, really, urging the dissolution of the Union. God. And because, you know, I mean, that goes back to that question, you know, Bob, why don't you move, you know, you hate Mountaintop removal so much, why don't you move away from Appalachia? I'm sorry, I don't have a shitty little acre with a rundown, falling down house anywhere else. What choice do you have but to stand and engage in the struggle? Because I don't know. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, Chris here from Nymo.
Hey, Chris, how's it going, man?
Okay, I'm catching up. I'm about a month behind on my podcast. You were talking, I was going over the one where you're talking about the genetically modified apples.
Yes, the apples that won't turn brown.
Hey,
Chris, I hate to do it. I got to interrupt. We got a lousy connection here. I'm getting, like, every fifth phoneme.
Okay.
You want to ring off and try back? All right. We'll try again. That wasn't working at all. And if we have time, I want to share, since this is More In Monday, I want to share some of the most moronic writing that I have lately seen. And yes, it comes from West Virginia.
It comes from the Wheeling News Register Intelligencer. Irony alert. Now, go over and read this thing at Alternet. See if you agree. I mean, the author is apparently a humor writer of sorts. But the book is Better Off Without Him, A Northern Manifesto for Southern Secession. I'm just glad that maybe, you know, I'm not 4 or 5 beers into it, you know, in a bar with this guy, because sooner or later I wouldn't take a swing. I'm more civilized than that. Consider that title, Better Off Without Him, A Northern Manifesto for Southern Secession. And this is by someone who is arguably progressive or liberal. How's it? I'm going to call people out. How's that feel, Jack in Shreveport? How's that feel, Ron in Raleigh? How's that feel, Burns down in Alabama? How's that feel, Matt in Alabama? David in Tennessee? How's that feel? Better off without him. Because here in West Virginia, it feels pretty shitty. And I'll tell you something, and I'll probably get hate mail for this. There are a lot of cities in the so-called North that I would not trade the lot of them for New Orleans, Louisiana. And that's fact. Just like I wouldn't trade away San Francisco. And apparently this guy in his book decides, and here's the real laugher. This guy decides in his book that in this Southern secession, Texas would decide to stay with the Union. And he talks about how he researched his position. How do you research crap like this? Anyway, let's see if this is Chris again.
Is that you, Chris? Hi, Benny.
Ah, yes, much better now. I got both syllables.
Okay. Excellent. The Arctic apples that don't brown, those are the camel's nose under the tent. They're trying to bring in genetically modified trees, but they can't seem to get them. Anybody not go hysterical when they hear it, so they've tried the apple under the guise of, oh, we just made a better apple, we bred one out, or whatever. Oh, genetics is just like breeding, blah, blah, blah. They're hoping to bring it in for pine trees and shit, and once they do that, trees pollinate by air. This stuff goes around the world a couple times.
Right, and bird poop.
Yeah, and, I mean, that's how we date some things. We figure out the carbon dating on the pollen in the soil samples. For sedimentary rocks.
Right. Oh, no, no, no. And the pollen in the soil of archaeological sites, down through the strata. Absolutely.
The reason you have apples that rot is that the trees need the apples to rot to become naturally able to reproduce. Unless you want to make all your trees by cuttings, and you talked about that with the Brazilian rubber issue and the Chinese rubber issue, where if you get a disease that wipes out one, you lose the entire.
Yeah, you lose everything.
Yeah. Same thing could happen for apples. Same thing if, you know, we don't have tenderly managed pine tree forests. They will all be wiped out. These genetic trees, genetically modified trees, they're not viable in a natural environment.
Right, and I think in that same program, Chris, I think John Fox sent me the link talking about the resistance being developed to Roundup by the critters that attack Roundup ready corn.
Exactly. This is always a
so that, you know, boom, recipe for famine.
Exactly. And they want to wipe out basically so that they can make money. They want to control every tree on the planet. That's their ideal. Some of the biochemists that I've been listening to on the local radio stations have been more articulate about this because they're biochemists. I'm an engineer. But they're saying that by doing this, you can literally kill every tree on the planet, that the pollen will stop the other trees from being able to reproduce. It'll block it out. So that the receptor that's supposed to take a normal pollen gets this genetically modified.
Right. So we can just change the name of the whole damn planet to Rapa Nui, right?
Yeah. And you think the bugs are bad. Wait till the pollen gets them. About the secession thing, Bob, the Pakistan model is not necessarily bad. It did stop them from having a civil war, but I don't think your country is in a condition right now to administer a Pakistan-Indian separation as civilly as they did. Now, remember, this is two nations that are on the brink of nuclear war at any given day.
Right.
You know, we're talking.
So how well did that work out?
Well,
I mean, how long would it be? How long would it be after such a separation before the South decided that they wanted to forcibly annex? I don't know, Ohio. Because
there,
I mean, that I admit, you know, that's the belligerent side of us. Every time we decide to go bomb or shoot somebody, generally it's the American South and a few other places, but the American South that says, y'all, because it, as Joe Bajant noted, it's our Scots-Irish heritage. Y'all shoot, somebody's fighting, shooting somewhere. Give me a gun. Don't care who. Just want to go shoot.
Yep. You've got a big moral dilemma there. Do you abandon a small segment of your population to do that?
Well, that's my argument, Chris. I don't think it's that small a segment.
Well, no. And the best liberals you're going to find are the ones who are constantly surrounded by Nazis. You know, Jim Hightower comes from Texas. Texas Betsy comes from Texas. You know, some may be more famous than others, but the best liberals you get are the ones who see it up close and personal, the great excesses of these evil monsters.
Yeah.
Canada and the U.S. have been doing this on a lesser degree for a very long time now, ever since the 60s. We've been self-selecting our populations, not as quickly as I'd like, but we've been self-selecting so that you get our more mercenary people going down there to make a killing in whatever field of pursuit they're going for, and we get your more genteel, liberal, want-to-do-high-minded things, people coming up here. Whether that's just escaping a war or whether that's pursuing a career in medicine or a career in acting, it doesn't matter. If you do it for the love of it, you end up getting away from the American experience. And we get a small percentage of that outflow.
Maybe I'll wind up Canadian, but I don't think they want me now. I'm too damned old, Chris.
Well, I'm not saying that the secession thing is a bad thing per se, but I think your country is too big. It can't help but be an empire. If you want to address the evils that come about from being an empire, which is basically the big issue we all have any day of the week and discuss on the program regularly, we're going to have to make the country effectively smaller by some means. Now, I don't know.
And we're running out of time, but I speculate on that. I see a balkanization of the North American continent somewhere in the future. I don't know when, but I definitely see it. Hey, Chris, I got to get out of here. We're flat out of time. I hope we get a chance to talk a little at greater length sometime in the near future next week.
Look forward to it. Talk to you later, Bob.
See you, Chris. Bye. It's our buddy Chris from Canada, obviously. Time to get out of here. Yeah, gone for the remainder of the week, and things are pretty slim around here. And bills to pay. If you can help out at the PayPal button, it sure would be nice. Thank you for the one kind contribution that came in this evening. It is much appreciated. Rick Smith is next. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this go. Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to Texas Betsy, to John Fox, and to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks always go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and most importantly, ACT.org. ACT.org. Go there and help any way that you can, whether it's by making calls or creating awareness, or you know, maybe even throwing something in the kitty. It all helps. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.